Welcome to the Eddie Hyatt Podcast. I am your teacher and host, Eddie Hyatt. I'm so glad you joined me today, this Friday morning. Hey, we're continuing to look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, where Paul exhorts his younger protege, Timothy, to stir up or literally fan into flame. And maybe we will talk today about how we actually, in a practical way, how we do that. But he said to fan into flame the gift. Greek word is charisma, which is a grace gift given out of God's goodness. It is not some kind of good conduct award or a badge of spirituality. That's something to a good thing to remember, my friends, that these gifts of the Spirit do not signify spiritual maturity or a certain level of holiness. No, they are given. It says nothing about the maturity of the person whom God uses in a gift of the Spirit, because these are grace gifts. They're given out of God's goodness and grace to His people. And so, but they have to be stirred up. They have to be fanned into flame. They cannot be neglected. And yesterday I was emphasizing how we must give attention and we must nurture a sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. Because you see, these gifts are gifts or manifestations of the Holy Spirit. They reside in the Spirit, not in the person. They're not manifestations of Eddie Hyatt. They're not manifestations of Benny Hinn or anybody else you want to name. No, these are manifestations of the Holy Spirit. These gifts, these manifestations reside in the Holy Spirit. And if you have the Holy Spirit in you, God can manifest any of these gifts through you at any time at His discretion. Now, it's unfortunate that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, that this word charisma is translated as gift, or actually it's the word pneumatikos. So let's go over. I'm going to just turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, because by calling these gifts of the Spirit, it has led to a misconception about the character of what these are. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, Paul says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be ignorant." So Paul does not want us to be uninformed, without knowledge about spiritual gifts. Now here's what's interesting. I'm looking at my English version, the New King James Version. The word gifts is italicized, which is the translator's way of alerting us that the word is not in the original Greek. Isn't that interesting? In 1 Corinthians 12 and 1, where it says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I don't want you to be ignorant." And then from there, he goes on down and he lists different gifts of the nine gifts of the Spirit, tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, gift of faith, gifts of healings, and working of miracles. And so he calls these not gifts. So the translators have added this word. The word is actually pneumatikos. Pneuma is the Greek word for spirit, and it has this suffix on the end, which literally means spiritual things. Now regarding spiritual things, now regarding things of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be ignorant. Now, because from the time of the King James back in 1611, the translators added the word gifts there, it has left the impression that this is something that God gives to us that we then possess and carry around and use at our discretion. That is a terrible mistake. That is not the nature and character of what Paul is talking about and what we commonly call spiritual gifts. No, they are not permanent gifts that God gives to a person that they then can walk around and operate at their discretion. No, these, Paul says now, literally concerning spiritual things or things of the Spirit. I don't want you to be ignorant. Now, in verse down, if you read further down in verse 4, he does call them charisma, which is derived from the word charis, which is the word for grace. So these are grace gifts. And he's using this word to emphasize that these things of the Spirit, another word that he uses for them in verse 7, he refers to them as manifestations of the Spirit. That's 1 Corinthians 12:7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. My, there is so much in these verses. The word manifestation is phanerosis, and it refers to something that has been hidden being brought out into the open. And when there is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit, you see the Holy Spirit, you can't see him. You can't see him. He is invisible, but when there is a manifestation of the Spirit, there is something of the Spirit that comes forth out into the open. There is something powerful, a word spoken. There is something of the Spirit that comes out into the open. There is a manifestation of the Spirit. Now, down in verse 11, this is a part of the whole discussion. He says, but one and the same Spirit works all these things. See, one and the same Spirit works all these things, these spiritual gifts, as we call them, these charisma, these manifestations. The same Spirit works all of them because they reside in the Spirit. They don't reside in the person. They don't reside in a preacher. No, they reside in the Holy Spirit. So, verse 11, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he, the Holy Spirit, wills. Do you have the Holy Spirit living in you? If you do, then you have the potential for God to use you in any of these manifestations, or as they are traditionally called, any of these gifts of the Holy Spirit, whether it be tongues, interpretation of tongues, whether it be the gift of prophecy, gifts of healings, whatever it may be. And you know, when these things flow forth, when there is a group of people that's committed to allowing God to use them and to flow through them, you see, these gifts will flow. It will be, the Holy Spirit will be like the conductor of an orchestra, and these gifts will flow together through the different members of the body of Christ. And I will close with one example of this. As a young believer, before I ever met Sue, before I ever went off to Bible school, so this has been over 50 years ago, and I recently committed my life to Christ, been filled with the Holy Spirit. I spoke in tongues, began to pray in tongues every day, and I began to experience, in a meeting, I would experience this burning. I could feel this power down in my innermost being around my solar plexus area, and I could feel it rising up in me, and I would know that I had a message in tongues to bring forth that was to be interpreted. Now, again, this has been over 50 years ago. I was single, a new believer. My dad was a pastor of an Assembly of God church, small Assembly of God church, Shakota, Texas, and he invited his sister-in-law, my aunt by marriage, Hazel Hyatt, married to my dad's older brother, Haskell Hyatt. They've all gone on to be with the Lord now. Invited her to come and preach a revival. I think she was there for 2 weeks, preached every night. And one night in the midst of her sermon, I feel this power rising up in me. And I know that I am to bring forth in the congregation a message and utterance in tongues. And I'm struggling with this because I don't want to interrupt my aunt who is up there preaching her message. I don't want to interrupt her, but this is something that all of a sudden rises up in me. And my friends, when we are really moving with the Holy Spirit, we will not be disruptive. There will be something beautiful and powerful flow forth. So I'm sitting there and I'm saying, Lord, what do I do? What do I do, oh God? And I consider just blurting it out, but then I pull back, Lord, what do I do? And all of a sudden, as I'm asking God, what do I do? She stopped in the middle of her sermon. She stopped and just stood there in absolute silence. And I thought, well, this must be what I'm to bring this forth. So I brought forth this utterance in tongues. She gave the interpretation and then picked up her message and went on. Now, because she was staying with us in the parsonage next door, after the service, we were sitting around the table having a snack before we all went to bed. And so I asked her about this, about her stopping right in the middle. Oh, she said, I was preaching along and I heard the Holy Spirit tell me to be quiet. Hallelujah. I wonder how many times God has spoken to a preacher to be quiet. And they just went on preaching. She said, I heard the Holy Spirit tell me to be quiet. And she said, so I stopped and stood and waited and said, you brought forth a message in tongues. I had the interpretation. And wow, it just flowed. It was like the Holy Spirit conducting an orchestra. Can you imagine how powerful it would be in our churches if we were all yielded to the Holy Spirit and we were willing to let God have His way? What a powerful thing the Holy Spirit would bring forth. Lord, let it be in the churches of America, of Canada, of Ireland, of England, India, Pakistan, Uganda, Kenya, wherever, Lord, this podcast is going, South Africa, Luxembourg, France. Lord, let there come a fresh moving and help us, your people, to be sensitive to the most gentle promptings of your Holy Spirit. And may we flow. May we flow together like a great orchestra with you, the great maestro, the great conductor. And may we all flow together in your mighty Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. I'm Eddie Hyatt. Check out my website, eddiehyatt.com. Find a lot of wonderful resources that will bless you and help you. And if you would like to give an offering to bless our ministry, we're not underwritten by any church or organization, denomination. God is our source, and we trust Him to open up channels that He would use to bless us and to bless the work that He has called us to do. And He has been very, very faithful to do that very thing. So if He speaks to you to do that, you can help yourself. There is a PayPal icon there. If you like to use Zelle, just use my email, DrEddieHyatt@gmail.com. My email is there on the home page. And our physical address is there as well. And I look forward to seeing you on Monday. God bless.